Welcome to Hunger for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message from Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hunger for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Come on, let's clap our hands and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give a round of applause to our worship team. Glory to God. God is about to do something in this place. Did anybody come in for a move of God? Hallelujah. Amen. Before you hit take your seats, I just want you to slap high fives to three people around you and say, God is breaking the limits off of your life. He's breaking the limits off of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this is our outrageous summer here at Hungry for God. Outrageous! Come on! Hallelujah. Outrageous. Somebody say outrageous.
Outrageous.
Come on, we're believing God to do something outrageous this summer. We want God to invade every area of our lives. We want this summer, you know, I believe it's going to be a hot summer. But if it's hot in the natural, then that means it's going to be hot in the spiritual. God's going to turn some things up around us. Come on, how many people know that the coming of the Lord is soon? That in the last days, the Bible does say perilous times will come, but it also says that the glory of the Lord will be greater. And so if you're in Christ, if you're in the kingdom of God, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then that means the last days are going to be glorious days. It's going to be a golden era for us. I'm not one of those preachers who talk about how bad things are going to be, because in reality, things are only getting better for the church. The Bible says the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter, brighter and brighter. It doesn't matter how dark it gets outside. In your life, the glory should be picking up. Amen. And the good news about Christ is that he is Lord. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. It doesn't matter what's happening on the streets. If Christ is Lord in your life, wherever you go, you carry his presence. How many carriers of the presence of God do we have in here? Come on, if you're hungry for God, you should know that. We're carrying the presence. And each week for our outrageous summer, we're going to be talking about we're going to be talking about different topics each week, but we're attaching outrageous to it. The word outrageous simply means exceeding the limits of what is usual. When something is outrageous, it exceeds the limits of what's usual. Exceeding the limits of what is usual. And I'm going to talk to you today about, I believe, one of my favorite things I love to talk about. It's called the grace of God. Grace. Outrageous grace. Outrageous grace. I want you guys to open up your Bibles with me. Turn to the book of John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 16e. Can I just grab that? Can you grab that for me? John chapter 1, verse 16. And the Bible says this, and of his fullness. Can we read it together? Can we all read it together? All right, it's on the screen, so let's read it together. Thank you. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We're going to read the next verse that says this. No one has seen God at any time. I don't hear anybody reading. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, and he has declared him. Amen. So as we begin, let's just bow our heads. I just want to pray as we begin. this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless your name and we thank you for your presence that's in this room. We thank you, God, that as we release the sound of praise and a sound of worship, that you're tearing the walls down in our lives. We thank you right now, God, for the deliverance, for the freedom, the healing, the virtue that's flowing from you to us today. And Lord God, we just say thank you in advance for the good things you're about to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So once again, there it is, the word outrageous. It means exceeding the limits of what is usual. Another definition is not conventional or matter of fact. All right, so that means it's unusual, it's peculiar, and to attach grace to outrageousness, I don't even want to do that, because if you really understand the grace of God, grace in and of itself is outrageous all by itself. Grace exceeds the limits of what is usual. Well, if we go back into those verses we just read, before I even do that, let me help you understand what the word grace is, right? So grace comes from the word, or the Greek word charis, which means gift. Gift. All right, so a grace is a gift. And if you know anything about a gift, is that a gift is not something that you work for or earn. A gift is something that you receive when someone favors you, right? So if you have to work for a grace or a gift, then it's not a gift, right? Because it's a debt. You work for it and someone has to pay you. But not the thing. See, grace is, it's a gift that someone favors you. And in our case, we're talking about God's grace, or the grace of God. It's an understanding that we must have, that God favors us and he has something to give us. All right, talking about grace. And grace is so important because grace is the way God relates to us. That if you don't understand grace, you don't understand how God wants to relate to you. In other words, if you expect to receive anything from God, then you have to have grace in mind. If you have in mind that there's something that I gotta do, or it's something that I have to accomplish in order to receive grace from God, then I don't understand how God is going to relate to me. You see, for example, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, for you are saved by grace. God saves us by grace. And that word saved doesn't just mean that I escaped something. That word save in the Greek also includes that we are healed by grace, we are delivered by grace, that we are blessed by grace, that we are made whole by grace, that how all of the activities of God in our lives, it all flows to us through grace. Amen. And so if grace is the way God is going to relate to us, then I got to know how to relate to him back according to grace. Amen. It goes back to, now let's look at that verse, John chapter 1. It says that, and of his fullness we have all received. Now, who can receive grace from God? All can receive. Of his fullness we have all received. See, but I need to have a mentality to receive something. I have to have a mentality. I got to know that there is something to receive when I come into the presence of God. I have to learn how to become good at receiving when it comes to grace. So of his fullness, let's get that verse back up, please. Of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. Another translation of that word, of that verse where it says grace for grace, actually says, and grace upon grace. So grace upon grace, or blessing upon blessing, or favor upon favor, that God will continually keep pouring out more grace, more grace, more grace, if you have the capacity to keep receiving. Grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing. How many people want to experience a life where blessings overtake them? Where opportunities keep opening up for you, that there are no walls or limits in the way, but grace just keeps bulldozing your life. No matter how hard you try to run, grace just keeps overtaking you. How many people want that life? And it says, it's not based on our works or based on our fullness, but on his fullness. You see, the reason why God wants to be gracious is because he is a God of grace. He's a gracious God. That God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. That God is a God of love, not of judgment or punishment or pain. Our God is a God who wants to keep pouring out grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Another translation for grace means undeserved or unmerited favor. So grace is not only given to people who can receive it, but it's also given to people who know they don't deserve it. See, this is where the grace of God begins to get religious people upset. Because when God gives you grace, he doesn't look for the perfect people. He doesn't look for the people who got their lives all together. He doesn't look for the people who are good enough. He just simply comes to the people who understand that he's good enough. If you can believe God is good, God will blow your mind with his goodness. Glory to God. Look at the next verse if you don't believe me. Verse 17, it says this. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now notice, truth did not come through Moses or the law. Truth came attached with grace. So in the Old Testament, if we go back to verse 17, we know that the law, which was rules, right? God gave Moses the Ten Commandments that we know it, or the rules and the commands. And God gave Moses these laws. And the thing about laws is, laws just simply tell us what we can't do, right? Like a law just tells you what you can't do. Tells you what you can't do. Or when you look at that word law, you can also substitute it with limits. So in the law, we see the thou shalt not. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do all this other stuff, right? So we know the thou shalt not's what we can't do, the limits. You know, there's, for example, there's a law I don't really like right now in New York where they reduce the speed limit to 25 miles per hour. 25 miles per hour. My daughter could drive faster than that. But they reduced the speed limit down to 25. It used to be 35. And I got two tickets I got to pay, actually, from last month. The cameras. They got cameras now where they actually catch you if you're speeding over 10 miles or over. I need to boycott it or something. But yes, your pastor broke the law. All right, and I got to pay for it. And that's the thing about law. See, the law, it catches you. When it catches you, you got to pay for it. And the limits on that, the speed limit of 25 miles per hour, for me, I think it's too slow. But now I got to slow down for the limits. It tell me what I can't do. I can't go over 25 miles per hour. One thing about the law is this. It doesn't empower you, right? It actually just tells you what you can't do. And then if you don't live up to the standards, you have to pay for it. But the law doesn't empower you in any way. Right? So if you get caught breaking the law, you got to pay for it. And the Bible says, although the law was given through Moses, see, the law is a good thing because not only does the law in and of itself, the reason why, and the book of Romans talks about it, the reason why God gave the law was to actually tell you how sinful you are. And that's a good thing. Let me tell you why. Because again, notice, see, every time I get to 25 miles per hour when I drive, I still, so I say, let me go a little bit over. I'm tempted every time I reach 25 miles per hour to go over that limit. And again, the thing about the law is it shows you that our desire, see, temptation doesn't come until you have a law. Adam and Eve would have lived forever until they got a law, and then the law exposed a tendency within them to sin, right? So the law tells you how sinful you are, but it's actually a good thing when you come to an understanding of how sinful you are, because when you realize how sinful you are, then you actually recognize your need for a savior. Because now You no longer try to live according to your own limits. The problem for many of us is we're trying to live depending on our limits, the limits of our own strength. And if you depend on yourself and you depend on your flesh and your own abilities, you'll always run into some limits, right? Like a law of gravity. We can fight the law of gravity all day, but at some point, like for example, gravity says it keeps everything down, right? The gravity works against us. It's a gravitational pull that holds everything down. But right now, I'm holding this phone up, and I'm defeating gravity in my own strength. Right? This phone is supposed to be coming down, but I'm stronger than gravity right now. I'm holding it up. But guess how long you think I can stay here holding this? As strong as I am. You see, because the law is permanent, the law is fixed, it's not changing, but my physical body is there are limits to it, no matter how strong you think you are, right? So guess what God does? He says, instead of the law, I want to give you something better. The law came through Moses, but I'm going to give you grace and truth. Grace and truth. What's grace again? It's a gift, a free gift, right? Something that you can freely receive. It is actually the power of God to do what you can't do in your own strength. Grace. Somebody say grace. It's the power of God to do what you can't do. And the Bible says that's why we are saved by grace, because I don't have the power to save myself. You don't have the power to save yourself. Amen. And God wants us to have a spirit of grace, because he's given us grace for grace. Because when we receive grace, we're supposed to be finding ways to give other people grace. People need to come into an understanding that they don't have to live life on their own strength and their own power based on their own efforts. It means that God can qualify you and position you beyond your limits. So there are people right now, for example, who have aspirations or dreams, let's say to make it out the projects. But the limits on their life say, well, your mother was in the projects and your grandmother was in the projects. So the limits on the law is you will be in the projects. But when you know the grace of God, grace is able to empower you beyond your limits. The limits is this. If you reach a certain age, you start getting arthritis. That's the limits. But how many people know God can empower you beyond those limits? The Bible says when you know grace and you know truth, the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Free from what? The limits. Come on. There are limits that society places on some of you. There are limits that the world puts on you. There are limits that even some of your parents have spoken over you, says you will never amount to nothing, or you won't reach into certain positions in life. But come on, when you know the grace of God, then you start entering to the truth of God, because the truth is there are no limits that you have to settle for in your life. Come on. Come on, I can't hear you. This is outrageous grace. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? That's why when you believe the truth that sets you free, grace comes along to empower you to live up to that truth. You see, the truth, you don't know the truth about God until you understand grace. See, the law tells you what you can't do. Grace tells you what you can do. And that's the truth. The church is not supposed to be a place where we just tell people what they can't do. That's not the place. This is not the place where you come. You're supposed to hear the truth. What you actually can do, right? I can do all things through Christ, who is what? Strengthening me. Because when you know what you can do, there's a grace that comes to empower you and strengthen you to live above the limits. Come on, those walls are coming down right now. Those limits that you hit with your own strength, God says, no, it's time to step into my grace. Hallelujah. Anybody wants the grace of God to fill their lives? Come on, you are saved by grace. You are healed by grace. You can be delivered by grace. You don't have to settle for the limits on your life today, because the grace of God can set you free right now. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Let me show you one more verse real fast. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, real fast. Look at verse. Let me just read these verses. 15. Hurry up. Verse 15. Look, it's talking about grace again. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Jump down to verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, talking about Adam. Adam sinned and we all sinned. Adam's sins brought death to everyone. But much more those who receive abundance of grace. You see, when God gives you grace, he doesn't give you a little bit. He gives you an abundance of it. Hallelujah. Come on, abundance, grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing, favor upon favor. I'm telling you, your life will change when you step into a world of grace. Abundance, say abundance. Receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Don't let anybody tell you that there are limits to grace. There are no limits to the grace of God. There are limits with the law, but there's no limits to his grace. So he says, I'm giving you an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. How many people know righteousness is a gift? That you don't got to get right. God makes you right, and it's a gift that you can receive. That's why salvation is by grace. Because when you're saved, when you accept Jesus Christ and you believe and receive his grace, he gives you his righteousness as a gift. Thank you. Somebody say thank you for the gift. And because if you learn to receive an abundance of grace and righteousness, you will reign in life. Again, you will beat the odds. You will overcome those limits on your life if you learn to depend and believe in the grace that God has given us through the one person named Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can I give you one more verse? Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous today. Hallelujah. Come on. God wants to make you righteous. And it's all by grace. It's by grace. Do you believe that? And you know when you're righteous, that means, you see, what righteousness means is this. Everything that I can get according based on the law that I deserve, I can get it. So what righteousness simply means is this. When I live right, I qualify for what the law says I can have. But the Bible didn't say in this verse that you got to live right to become right. The Bible says that God gives you righteousness as a gift. There's so many people who don't want to, for example, they don't want to come to church or serve God because they don't feel they're right enough. Let me tell you, that's one of the biggest lies the devil is using to send people to hell. You don't have to live right to become right. That was the reason why Jesus Christ died for you. Because you don't got the power to live right. But if you come to me, I'm going to give you my grace. And my grace will be sufficient for you. And I'll make you right. If you just love on me and believe me and receive me, I will make you right today in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church is here to help introduce you to the free gift of his righteousness. Can we all stand today? I want us to receive the grace today. Come on. How much limits are you accepting that God wants to deliver you from? I want to let you know today that there are no limits to his grace. There are no limits to his grace. For by one man's disobedience, many became sinners. But now, through one man's obedience, many are made righteous. Many can qualify for the favor and blessing of God today because of one man named Jesus Christ. Come on. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just lift up your hands today. And I want us to be a church of grace. I want us to be a people today who will say, I want to live from the grace of God. I'm not going to live based on my own strength anymore. I'm not going to live depending on myself. There are limits to myself, but there are no limits to God's grace. There is an abundance of grace available for me. And so in the name of Jesus, lift up your hands, and I want us to just pray this simple prayer together. And I want us to make a decision to live from the grace of God. Amen. So just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that your grace is better than anything I can ever do in my own strength. I was a sinner, but today I believe that you made me right with God. So Jesus, I want you to live in my heart by your grace. Teach me to never depend on my strength. Remind me that there is always grace for me. There is grace for me to live above the limits of my life. Come on, let's bless the Lord and say thank you for grace today. Amen.